on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach. So don't go away. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, so welcome to yet another edition. All right, Southern California, how you doing? Cancer Moon, Cardinal Transits happening, Moon Wobbles. We are flying here on the Astrology Hour. I'm mighty glad to be here today. I have an inspirational letter from Writin' Michael. That's right, Writin' Michael. And letter Writin' Michael, Mike Scott, that I'm going to read. And then I'm going to do what he wants me to do and do a topic on the Metaphysical Bible. So today's going to be a very ambitious show, I'm here to tell you. But I'll do the best I can. Anyway, this letter, I don't know. I guess that's why I'm here. I'm here on the radio so I can get letters like this. And I'll open the phone lines in about 25 minutes, so hang in there. I'll give out the numbers then, too. But seriously, I am really on the air, not only to be a teacher and a student for you, but also to get this kind of response to my efforts. So let's read this letter to you, because I like to share it. It says personal, but sorry, Mike, you write letters to me, and all Southern California hears about it. It says, yo, Farley, bud, how you doing? This is that letter-writing listener, Mike Scott. I wanted to call you today, November 14th, about your topic, death and rebirth, but I guess I called in too late, and you ran out of time before I could get on. So I figured, what the heck, if I can't talk with you on the phone, I can still write. By the time you get this, I'm sure you will have completely spaced on what your topic was about. So I'll refresh for you, Death and Rebirth, inspired by the movie Dad with Jack Lemmon and Ted Danson, a real tearjerker of a movie, highly metaphysical and inspirational. The overriding theme of the day, as interpreted by yours truly, was when you find yourself in a rut and are merely existing rather than truly living, it's time to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, as I would say, or as you put it, rebirth. Change the regimen. Reduce the stress. Get rid of the toxic behaviors. Do whatever is required before the universe does it to you. This guy is a good student, okay? He's also a great teacher. That's why I'm reading this. Great topic, Farley. I could really relate. It seems as though I'm forced to do that in a major way every year or so, and more often with the everyday type of stuff. The first major event was coming to terms and making the peace with my own dad. Unfortunately, I waited until he was quite literally on his deathbed to do it. Fortunately, he pulled through the ordeal marvelously and is now functioning quite well with two mechanical valves in his heart. I guess the point of that is that Pop is no longer the impossible-to-please, mean old grizzly bear, but one of the gentlest, kindest, good old guys you'll ever meet. I think that I learned what pride tasted like as a result of swallowing, and forgiveness feels like. Both are actually pretty darn refreshing. I've had a few other experiences since. The most recent nearly resulted in the end of my 13-year marriage. This is going to get personal, so let me pass that part here. Farley, are you familiar with the song The Cat's in the Cradle by the late, great Harry Chapin? And yes, I am. It's a song about a little boy who idolizes his dad, and all he wants to do is to play with his dad and spend time with him. The boy's dream is to grow up just like his dad. Well, it seems as though dad had his priorities screwed up and was always too busy with taking care of business. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Son, we're going to have a good old time then. I want you to know this is probably my favorite song, The Cat's in the Cradle, so it gives me a chill. Well, guess what? Then never came. That is, until the boy had grown and had kids of his own. Now, dear old Dad, getting on in years, wants to visit with the son he never had time for when he was growing up. Well, you know, Michael, this letter could have been written by thousands of men, and probably women, too. And the interesting point of this letter is that it really is true. The generation gap that we talked about in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s is a real big astrological difference between the charts of folks that were born in the early 1900s and the charts of those of us that were born in the middle 1900s. And it's almost like both generations are nearly like strangers. So There's a lot of issues out there between children and their dads and children and their moms right now, and that's why these songs and these movies about these relationships with dad are so poignant, okay? But anyway, to continue with this letter, and to continue with Michael's letter, it says, "Let me ask you something, Farley. Do you take topical requests? I mean, you sound like an adventurous type of guy. I've been a seeker and student of truth, as it were, since I was 13, with the unfortunate exception of a four-year hiatus in the Air Force. I guess you could say the bulk of my studies have been based on non-traditional, so-called new thought, not so religious, but spiritual gender, science of mind, unity, as well as a good deal of independent study." Well, he goes on, and basically what he's saying is, astrology is great and wonderful, not for its fortune-telling capabilities, but for the truth of the universe it helps to uncover. And you, Farley, are a channel for this wisdom. Thanks, Mike. I do, however, have to regrettably disagree with one of your callers today. Remember, this is still Tuesday, November 14th, who said that you were God. Sorry, partner. You expressed your God self wonderfully, but I will say that for me, you have been a wonderful catalyst. This is what a good teacher does, stimulate the people to learn to question traditional values, even those of the teacher, and to come to their own truth. This is what you do so well. You have the only program on the airwaves which stimulates the mind. Thank you, Mike. And I may not always agree with exactly everything you have to say, but I always do learn something. Okay, so there you go with that. He also talked about the Bible. He says, "I'm fascinated with the infinite possibilities of man, of me. As a matter of fact, the more I read and reread the Bible of all things, the more fascinated I become with the incredible wisdom it contains. It is so unfortunate that so many people read it and only see the physical, literal stories it tells. I mean, the first two chapters of Genesis, the story of creation, for example, tells me exactly what I can do to create my own perfect reality. Look at it in a little different light. That book can uncover a world of mysteries. You see, I'm always searching for fresh ideas or new approaches to old ideas. That's primarily why I've become addicted to your program." And then at the end, of course, he says, "I guess all that's left is to close this puppy out, go home and play with my kids. Take care, Farley. Thanks for the therapy. Love you. Peace and grace are still yours. See ya, Mike Scott." I must have been best friends with this guy throughout time. And Michael, I hope you didn't mind me reading some of your letter there on the air. Not all of it, but some of it. But I'm inspired once again to talk about the Bible now and some of the ancient roots concerning some of the prophets that wrote the Bible. Unfortunately, many people who have tried to interpret the Bible, I think many times try to interpret it in a 20th century manner. Okay, I don't think that they're taking a look at the first or second century or 2-3,000 years prior to that, whenever the five books of Moses were written, to look deep into what these people were really truly into. I've read the Bible and taken all types of Bible studies and such, and it's amazing how some of the people that I have met that are so highly into metaphysics and astrology have sat down and discussed with me and clearly, logically explain the astrological and the metaphysical roots of the Bible. It is unbelievable how much astrology is mentioned in the Bible if you look for it. The symbolism is everywhere. The lion and the lamb, Aries and Leo. The lion of Judah, Leo. The man, Aquarius. The eagle, Scorpio. The calf, Taurus. The crab in the Bible, Cancer. And so on and so forth. The Virgin Mary, Virgo. It continues and it continues and it continues. I find the Revelation chapter, the final chapter of the New Testament, is so filled with astrological power that maybe it was the Four Horsemen or something was mentioned about the lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle, which is the four fixed signs of Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus, were mentioned as focuses, which probably has something to do with the Aquarius transits in the mid-1990s connected with the Revelation chapter of the Bible. But it's interesting that people that read the Bible today in 1989, and I have to maybe even be specific and talk perhaps about some of these born-again people, right, that talk about the Bible, right away they are ready to put down people that are into metaphysics and astrology. Now, I want to draw a line here and separate a strata of individuals throughout time that we might identify as fortune tellers, people that would be soothsayers, crystal ball workers or whatever, and I'm not talking about intuitive counselors either. I'm talking about people that are in a fortune-telling type business, and I want to differentiate that between that and the scientific, ancient, metaphysical roots of astrology and path of the soul type presentations. Because I am aware that there are mentions in the Bible warning against fortune telling and witchcraft and such as that. Because understanding metaphysics and the path of the soul can be used in a negative sense. Because there is a positive and a negative vibration attached to everything in this realm. Okay, I want to make that clear. But also, I also want to make it clear that I firmly believe through my studies and my research that the authors of the Bible and the prophets that are mentioned in the Bible during that genre of individuals were people that sprung from metaphysical thought. I want you to know that even the ancient roots of Judaism, which is laced with sacred ceremonies, sacrifices, and meditation and prayer, rituals, visions, miracles. You know, it is laced with what is referred to as Kabbalistic thought. The ancient roots of Judaic thought is actually a presentation of practical application of metaphysical laws. You know, in the Bible it mentions the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which basically describes and explains the law of karma. Which basically means whatever happens, you don't have to return that pain yourself. Or if somebody takes your eye, you don't have to take their eye because the universe and God will take care of that for you. You know, it's funny that people, when they interpret the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, some people in their ridiculous fanatical ideologies try to think that they're the ones that are supposed to actually dictate the laws. That we're the ones that are supposed to take the tooth for a tooth and the eye for the eye, and the universe karmically takes care of itself. People that make a mistake and that create bad energy, they are going to have to pay for that. That's the way karma works, and the Bible discusses that. So it's interesting that oftentimes you talk to people about the Bible, and they're always saying, well, it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible, the Bible's totally against astrology and metaphysics. Give me a break. How do you think these people, like Moses, who was in the desert for all those years and up in the mountain meditating and praying all those times to receive the Ten Commandments from God, what do you think he was doing? This guy was fasting and praying in deep meditation, Jewish, traditional sacred trance. When you use these ancient Jewish mantras and you repeat them for hours and hours under trance-like state, look out, because you might have a vision of God. And you might receive this kind of knowledge from your higher self that will allow you to create laws that people can abide by when prior to that they seem to be a lawless group of individuals or people that had no basis or foundation for survival. What I'm trying to get to here is here in the age of Pisces in the last 2,000 years, it is true that a lot of people have become religious and that a lot of people have become interested in God and that a lot of people have tried to interpret the Bible in 20th century manners. But if you're wondering why the miracles of the Bible have either seemed to been lost or escape us or the Red Sea hasn't quite been parted nor has people been walking on water lately, it's because there was so much propaganda and so much negative publicity concerned with the true roots of biblical thought, metaphysical roots, that oftentimes the Bible was passed on as a myth and a legend that did have foundation. But many times, of course, we were not made aware of some of the deeper supernatural meanings of the Bible, which can be validated. Now, a man like Christ, for example, Jesus Christ, who was a revolutionary individual for his time, was a man who was trying to restore the sacred meanings of Judaism on the world. And that is why he learned how to meditate and pray in high levels, plug into his higher self and obviously his messianic being, which was what his mission was, and reflect this type of energy for all people to learn and practice. But instead, that meeting was misinterpreted as someone that we should idolize and worship and turn to as Savior instead of learning practical application of these same methods unto ourselves. So there's a lot of people that when they read the Bible, if you try to read the Bible, for example, pick it up and read it again, and search for the metaphysical truths between the lines, and the astrological symbology that is everywhere, especially in the Revelation chapter, the final chapter. They talk about, I believe, the 24 elders in the 24-something in the Revelation chapter. And a magnificent video was sent to me by May Shaw the other day where a Christian minister from New Jersey explained astrologically what these 24 elders were. And basically what they were the 24 qualities of the astrological signs. Now, you're probably sitting there saying, Farley, there's only 12 astrological signs. Well, that's right. There are 12 signs. But if you take the best and the worst, the positive and the negative charge of each of the 12 astrological signs, you will end up with 24 distinct factors that are clearer than the nose on my face or your face. And, like, obviously, the sign of Leo, the lion, could either render and tear and destroy like a vicious, aggressive lion, or create and lead and offer strength. On the other hand, and the sign of Aries can be focused on the self, the ego, the centered part, selfishness, the warlike tendency of the ram, or it can climb the mountain and ascend into the light, in the consciousness of God's love. Taurus, the bull, can be either very stubborn and aggressive and value money-oriented, or rise up to a nourishing, nurturing level, an authentic spiritual love type of energy. And it goes on and on. Gemini can be either riddled with detail and trivia and small matters, communication matters, or rise up to higher levels of communication, psychic communication, intuition, God consciousness. The same with Cancer. Cancer can either be locked into its emotions and its anxieties and its fears and its worries, or rise up to the power of intuitive consciousness and an emotional, blissful connection with all things. See, and every sign has a positive and negative, and 12 times 2, two factors to each sign equal 24. And when we talk about karma, when you look at your chart and you notice what signs you have covered in your chart, well, I want you to know that when you create karma, it is when you are being the negative side to that sign. If you are a Leo, or you do have a Leo moon, and you choose to rend and tear and attack and destroy and slaughter, well, that's the negative side to Leo. Or you can create and lead and show strength and rise up above it. Virgo offers a vibration on the lower level, the negative side to it, where it could analyze and worry and pick at and tear apart and rebuild. Or in the higher levels, it's service to humanity. It's holistic health. It's God consciousness in the body. Libra has a vibration of salesmanship, of charm, of manipulation on the negative side and the dark side. Or it can teach, it can counsel, it can care, it can nurture, it can balance. It could reveal light. Scorpio, as the scorpion, can sting, it can kill, or it could fly like an eagle into the clouds of God's love. Sagittarius can perform as the hunter, the archer, the attacker, the evader, the traveler, or it can teach, it can philosophize, it can bind and bond. See what I mean? Capricorn can martyr itself. Capricorn can suffer. Capricorn can put itself into a mode where it must experience pain in order to grow. Or Capricorn can serve as a teacher, revealing laws of karma and sharing this understanding with everyone so we can ascend into the light. Aquarius can dominate. It could rule. It could direct. It could drag. It could actually create storms or violence or danger. Or it could be the highest form of the humanitarian, the communion between man and woman and God. Pisces can run. It can escape. It can serve as an enemy, or create enemies, or be vulnerable. Or it could rise up into the light of God's love as the highest vibration of the 12 signs. And you could find, you know, the fish. They talk about fish all over the Bible. And they talk about the symbolism. You know, the 12 signs of the zodiac are mentioned everywhere in symbolism. One wonders if the Bible somehow wasn't slightly misinterpreted. Because some of the ancient interpreters might have taken some of the astrological roots and metaphysical roots that the sacred authors of the Bible knew about and threw that out or misinterpreted because they felt it was black magic or negative because their experience with that was a non-knowledgeable experience. You know, a lot of people are frightened of astrology and metaphysics until they cross the line and rebirth to embrace the meaning of what some of the sacred teachings are. God created the heaven and the earth and the signs of the zodiac to offer flavor and uniqueness and positive-negative vibration to this solar system and to this planet. There's a reason why it's up there the way it is. As above, so below. So I'm sure that many of you might have other comments about this topic, and maybe you could offer some other validity that would connect some of the sacred teachings of the Bible with metaphysics. You know, when we talk about miracles in the Bible, like walking on water, you know, people are levitating today. People are learning how to do this today. When we talk about placing the hands on people and allowing them to get in touch with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and giving them the Holy Ghost and stuff and healing them, people do that today when they heal. When people actually heal, they place their hands on others or close to their bodies. This is a metaphysical thing that happens all the time. When you talk about people receiving the Holy Spirit, people receive the Holy Spirit all the time in their meditations when they have their own personal visions of Christ that many of them are afraid to talk about because they're afraid people will think they're crazy. But it happens every day. Now, receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving this healing and receiving this energy and this vibration. I mean, the things that are talked about in the Bible that are done by individuals that are referred to as masters are practical application, metaphysical applications that are used every day now on this planet by millions of people. And this is not just reserved for one or two people. It was meant to be for all the people. And that's what the Age of Aquarius symbolism is for the next 2,000 years. The priority is going to be restored to the people, which means we are going to finally embrace our power and our knowledge and our abilities. You know, a lot of people, I don't know, that study the Bible, maybe they're not aware of the Dead Sea Scrolls or some of the ancient teachings by one of the more powerful factions of Judaism at that time, which was the Essenic faction, which actually was able, the Essenes were able to embrace and recover the Kabbalistic roots of the Bible. And in case you're wondering where Jesus Christ learned about his powers and his abilities to develop the situations, he was trained by the Essenes. That's where he gained his rabbinical classification, in fact. Okay, so this guy was much more than the type of rabbi that existed in those times normally. He was what you call a metaphysical rabbi. Somebody who had the practical applications of metaphysics. We could send any number of some of our more gifted individuals that are alive today, thousands of men and women even, no problem, women, right? Send them back to the year zero and have them lay their hands and perform levitation and healing and reception of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that they'd have a problem trying to figure out exactly who is the Messiah, this woman or this guy Jesus. You see, you get my point? Many of us are led astray. There is a reason why we are led to believe things that really are not true. Because I hate to say this, but there are entities, there are forces in this realm, in this dimension, that would forever enslave us philosophically and prevent us from learning the truth. I'm sorry to say that. A lot of people don't like to accept the fact that evil exists. And that evil people exist that would kill us or that would remove us. I mean, I want to remind you of the Salem witch trials and of all the burnings that went on throughout Europe and the Middle East after the death of Christ and all the Christians that were slaughtered. You know, the truly metaphysical root of religion, Judaism and Christianity, was wiped out through a genocide. That whenever they found anybody with any kind of power at all, they didn't want that. You know why? Because it threatened their political standings. It threatened them. So what'd they do? They put them in the pen with the lions. They burned them at the stake. They shot them. They killed them. They knifed them. They hung them. Whatever. And for that reason, as time went on, whenever a gifted individual was found to be born an intuitive, healing, beautiful, glowing being of light, they were put to death, wiped out, exterminated. No wonder some of these sacred truths have never come up. Now there's too many of us to exterminate unless they start some kind of new thing. Some kind of weird dictator comes around and decides to start wiping out people again. It's funny how sometimes always the sheep are always slaughtered because they're afraid to do anything about it. They're afraid to talk. They're afraid to rise up and say anything about it. Whenever people have stuck their necks out, like Martin Luther or Martin Luther King or even John F. Kennedy, when people have stood up for human rights like Abraham Lincoln, they're snuffed out like a candle being burned out. No wonder so many people are frightened to rise up with the truth. Because it's scary. A lot of people are afraid to die. I'm Farley Malaris. I feel kind of stunned by this stuff. I gotta feel like I'm a little bit out of my body right now. Let me center and focus and ground myself because I don't know where I've been. And, the metaphysical Bible, huh? Well, you never know what you're in. This was 30 minutes of commercial free, radio here on the Astrology Hour. It's amazing how the word crystal is mentioned how many times in the Bible. You would be amazed at how many times the word crystal is mentioned. I mean, crystals are in the Bible. They're there. So is astrology, so is metaphysics, so is astral projections and visions of God and the Holy Spirit. Everything that is metaphysical is in the Bible. You better believe it. There is much sacred truth there. And tremendous distortion if you don't read it correctly, but a lot of sacred truth. One final comment. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. You cannot write the word for God in Hebrew, but the English interpretation of the words Elohim, in other words, if you want to know what God means in Hebrew, the ancient Kabbalistic root of God, it means I am. Actually, it's said twice. I am, I am. What is God? I am. Something to meditate on.